Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com on this October the 17th on the West Coast, and now October the 18th on the East Coast of the United States, as well as in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to the show, and I also want to welcome many new listeners throughout Europe. I've been getting a lot of email from folks in England, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, France, Portugal, and points beyond. And it's very heartening to see that folks are listening in the middle of the day or the early morning hours, depending on where they are on the planet. And it's a wonderful sign that people are waking up and tuning into this message. Well, rather than go into news tonight, usually I'll open the show with a couple of comments about what's going on, but nothing's really changed other than It's all moving along the normal course of insanity, and we have the usual propaganda and the mind-bending nonentities thrown in our direction for our perusal or for our immediate casting into the rubbish bin or flushed down the commode, depending on your personal preference. So we're not going to pay a lot of attention tonight and bring up specifics, at least in terms of a news item. We may be discussing these things. I'm going to bring tonight's guest right on board. He is our regular Friday night guest. For the new listeners out there, this is a very accomplished scientist, inventor, author, lecturer and teacher, and he is really my co-host on Evident Footprints now, and he is our honorary science advisor. I have to say honorary, otherwise I have to pay him money for doing it. But with that, I welcome to the show Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Don. How are you?
Okay. I hope you don't mind not being paid as of yet. We're not big enough.
Well, I don't know. It shouldn't really be a burden anyway, Don. It's all fiat money. You know, you can just unload as much as you want in my direction. No problem.
Okay. I have to fire up my scanner then. Oh, well, you and I have talked about a lot of different things on the show. As you well know, and as our listening audience well knows, we talk about power, we talk about energy, we talk about electricity, we've talked about UFOs, alien beings in our atmosphere, we've talked about alien beings underground and on the surface of the planet, masquerading as people, and then we talk about science in general, alternative energy. We talk about the brainwashing that we're going through. And hopefully we touch upon a lot of solutions. Of course, when we're talking about science and these technologies, you're chock full of solutions. The problems that we have are the fact that we're fighting people that have enormous sums of money and an intent on enslaving the planet. That's another topic that we discuss. The Illuminati, as they like to call themselves, the illuminated or enlightened ones. And we see through the facade that they portray. We've talked about mind control and we've talked about basic consciousness. And I felt tonight that a man with your scientific and your spiritual acumen, we could embark upon a discussion about responsibility and the evolution of the human being. And you were very receptive to that idea. So we want to let the listening audience know that we haven't really planned anything per se other than agreed upon this subject. Do you want to make any remarks before we delve into this?
Well, it's such a broad field, it's difficult to make a specific remark about it, really, unless we want to identify a particular course of action. So I would just say let's wade into the pool.
Okay, well, that's a loaded question I asked you, and you could go into one of a million different places, if not a billion, or almost 7 billion directions. So I'll make a few basic comments, and let's see where this goes. Fair enough?
Sure, I'm always game.
All right. I've been doing a lot of thinking, especially since I got some of these massive research articles behind me and out there in the newspaper and on the web, and I'm watching things unfold in terms of, you know, this political campaign for the office of the presidency and the media's participation, and I'm listening to folks, and of course I'm talking to them every night. I'm talking either with a guest, or even going the route on my own. And I'm getting a lot of email and some calls into the show, not an enormous amount, but very valuable comments being made by some of the listeners that are calling in. And they feel that the things that we've been covering are sort of like planting seeds. They feel that the seeds are taking, that they're being nourished, that they're being fertilized and watered, so to speak. And so my intent as far as leading the listening audience down a course, which my intention is, and my goal is going to take us to a mutual enlightenment and an understanding of truth, the highest truths. And so we have to start with where we are right now. And this has a lot of people confused because people get the message that something's wrong. People get the message that we have to change things. However, there's a lot of either disagreement or there's a sort of a brick wall in front of us that people aren't really seeing what the immediate solutions are. We can speak in generalities, yet I think what we're going to talk about tonight is going to clarify some things for people. I've been making this general statement that we have to take responsibility. And, I want to talk about responsibility tonight, but I think it would be helpful for us to define who we are. First of all, that might make some sense. And then we can sort of tackle this point by point. I'm sure most people would agree that we are a species which is called humanity. Now, it's a pretty general word, and in a way, it's an obscure definition. We are biological creatures that have minds and bodies, and most of us agree that we have a spirit, or we are spirit manifested in a physical form for the purpose of carrying out the purpose of the spirit. Some refer to that as a soul. Now, when we call ourselves humans, or we call ourselves humanity as a species, I think we're falling short of the definition of who we are, or we're leaving out the part of who we are in terms of coming to some realization as to what we can be doing to fix all the problems that we have. Most people are going through some kind of misery or anguish, uneasiness, unhappiness, fear, and what they perceive around them is very chaotic, very disorganized, or maybe organized with the intention of being chaotic. And so we react to what is going on, and reaction is what we do after something has been done. Done for us, done to us, done with us, or just done, and if we perceive it in some way as part of our experience, then we either notice it and respond accordingly, or we're oblivious to it, we're ignorant of it. So there are different levels of how we react to things. Some people call that consciousness. Many people seem to be asleep. Many people seem to be unconscious or ignorant. They may be awake, but their attention is focused on the everyday things of gathering material possessions, having certain experiences where we exert the most amount of control over our environment and thus over our experiences. However, we do this calling ourselves humans or being members of humanity. And when we speak about this issue of responsibility, we have to be able to correctly identify who we are. Now, I'm alluding to the fact that we could call ourselves human beings, and by doing so, then we now move into a place where we are, and we are in the process of, as opposed to looking at ourselves as some benign object that has no meaning unless we put the meaning in a place and time, past, present, or future. Now, in a universal sense, everything is considered to be in the now, and so there is no past or there is no future, but it's constantly a state of being in the moment. Again, there's the word being. So if we think as a foundational definition of who we are, if we could at least for the purpose of this conversation tonight, which is up to this point very one-sided, we could consider ourselves human beings, then I think we can move through what our problems are and who we are and how we can go about fixing the problems. Do you agree with that so far?
Well, that's a heck of an entry, but yeah, I agree. And the point that you're bringing out, though, which is worthy of further contemplation, in my opinion, Don, is the pivotal idea of being. Now, when I was younger, I used to really ponder on that because it's a very important issue. One way to try and understand this concept of being is to try to imagine what it's like not to be. And I think regardless of how of where we stand on the curve of evolution, so to speak, you'll very rapidly come to the conclusion that you cannot imagine what it's like not to be. And so I concluded rather young in life that, we've been here all along, and it's just a question of in what state. So, you know, the concept of being just means that there's an existence of some sort which we are locked into and which persists in various ways, you know, over the passage of time. Now, the difference between being barely conscious and being a self-perceptive being, as I would like to imagine we are at the moment, really boils down to the content of your knowledge. I mean, I think, for instance, there's still question, in my opinion, that a gnat, for instance, has some sort of being. The mere fact that it exists is pretty obvious that it's enjoying an existence of some sort. But if you compare, for instance, the being of a gnat and the being of a blue whale, there's obviously a fair amount of difference between the two, not just in the way they manifest in the world, but in the way that they're designed, what they're accomplishing here, what their experience is during their living time, and a whole host of other things. So I think that the whole thing we want to start with, as you suggested, is being, and then the next thing is, how does being interact with consciousness? Well, you know, that's a really tough question. It's not something that's easy to discuss either, because everybody's perception of consciousness is going to be somewhat varied. But in my opinion, one of the discerning factors about where you sit in terms of your overall consciousness could probably be measured by, at least in some instances, by the knowledge that you possess. And I think this is one of the reasons why you and I have labored on this show for so many months to get as much information out there as possible and see if we could penetrate the minds of those people listening and insert little kernels of truth that would expand the awareness of those individuals as a result of the delivery of new ideas upon which they could spin larger and larger degrees of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Now, it's an interesting thought, and I think with a little bit of meditation, most people would agree that there's a certain overall pattern in life which is extremely fundamental, and yet every form of creature that has an existence seems to go through this. And we touched a little bit about this on, was that in the last show or the show before? When basically, the way it appears, every species, including our own, is endowed with a particular bundle of energy at the moment that they are born. And I'm looking at that from the standpoint of, let's say, the vehicle has enough fuel to last, let's just say, 100 years. And so during that period of time, you know, as you, from the day you are launched into this world until the day that you leave it, you're consuming energy as you go through various stages of your life. Now, naturally, we also consume food and whatnot, which, you know, nourishes the body during that transition. But what I'm referring to is the basic staying power that we're given at the moment of birth, and which is probably known only to our higher selves and to the Creator as to just how long that time period is for each of us. But nonetheless, we come into the world with a certain amount of this energy, life energy, and it propels us through the course of our existence. And during the time that we're alive, we're having various experiences in the world. And even if we don't want to participate in this, I mean, you could actually be 100% against it. It doesn't make any difference. What winds up happening is that you're exchanging the energy that you were given at the start of your life for an influx of information. So by the time you have gone through your allotted energy consumption, you've literally transformed that energy into information. And it would appear that that is the basic concept of life. If you really boil it down to its most fundamental level, everything that exists and goes through a living period is exchanging energy for information.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of interesting concepts about what that information is for. And I think it was last week we talked about the early concepts in the religious practices of India that they believe that the purpose of that information is to essentially have a feedback mechanism to the deity so that it can enlarge upon its own consciousness by virtue of everything that it has created. Well, if that's true for God, it's certainly true for us. And so here we are, these beings that go through life with the prime objective of using up their life energy in the pursuit of information. And what is it that we do with that information? How does it manifest? Well, when you mix information in the term of cold, hard facts about everything that we experience in life, along with the actual learning that goes on as a consequence of living, then you wind up with two really important things. You wind up with knowledge, and you wind up with wisdom. And so I believe, and of course this is only me speaking, but I believe that the thing that most identifies us as human beings, Don, is that we have greater wisdom than the other creatures around us, and we have a vast storehouse of knowledge at our disposal, and that's supposed to be put to use to rearrange the circumstances of our lives to further accelerate the overall process and benefit all of mankind. Now, when that same knowledge and that same information stream is perverted, then the process is inverted, and we look at all the dark side of things that occurs, like slavery, the suppression of information, and all of the ills that have troubled this planet for eons. But that does not detract from the fact that there is a divine goal in the design of everything that seems to indicate the utilization of information for the production of wisdom and knowledge and the benefit of beings in general. Wouldn't that sort of be a good way to look at it from the get-go?
Yes, in fact, you're either reading my mind or we're just locked in right now because of the next thing that I wanted to say, the next comment that I wanted to make. I'm in agreement with what you said. This energy that you're talking about is our essence, which many refer to as the life force, and it's... it's known in metaphysics and even in martial arts. It's referred to as the chi. It's the power that enables one to perceive everything that's going on even before it happens. It's sort of it's an intelligent anticipation of what's about to happen. I think maybe I'd like to make just a couple of definitions here so that we, when we talk about this human being, we correctly identify what the human being or who the human being is. And if the listening audience and you, Jim, and I myself would just think of ourselves as individuals, it might serve our purpose to define that term. When we use the word individual, we immediately single out one person and separate that person from the whole. Would you agree?
Yeah, usually.
Okay. However, to me, the name or the word individual means indivisible or or whole, or, you know, not fragmented, unfragmented. And on that basis, if an individual is whole, then we need to look at the qualities of what makes one be whole. People today, for instance, and I'm going to just throw a few things in here because this is how people feel. Their concerns are about a shortage of energy, not having enough energy to get around. Maybe it's for a vehicle, maybe it's for their bodies and their minds. We have this preoccupation with insufficiency of food. Thank you. someone is serenading us there. Seth hit the wrong button. And he tells us he's sorry. I'll let the listening audience know that. Oh, he's telling me that I'm the only one that heard it. Okay. Well, I just got serenaded here. It sounded like White House, actually. You can let me know if I'm correct on that, Seth. I heard three notes. Yep, he says it was. Okay. Going back to what I was saying, so we are struggling with all these concepts. You know, we have water pollution, air pollution. We have polluted food or poisoned food. We have pharmaceuticals that many are waking up to the reality that they're really toxins that poison us. They may kill some bugs, but in the process, they end up doing more damage to our bodies. And so we have this preoccupation of how these things affect our bodies and then how they affect our minds. We've got electronic pollution of all types, electromagnetic radiation and microwave radiation, and the list goes on and on and on. And people are reacting to these things unconsciously, or they're consciously disturbed and concerned that nothing is being done about it. It's as though this is being done intentionally. In fact, most would agree that there is an agenda for doing this intentionally. So going back to the individual and the concept of taking responsibility, if we recognize that in our purest, truest sense, the way we were created as a whole. We were created with whole health or healthy. We were created with whole minds, or we could say with sanity. And we were created in the image of the Creator. So as whole beings, we are holy. And so if we're going to transform ourselves into who we really are, not who we have become victims of or who we have allowed others to mold us into, then we have to have a goal of transforming ourselves back to that original state of wholeness, of health, of sanity, and our holiness. Now, as we struggle with all these things that are bothering us, the energy, the pollution, the food, the water, the air, and jobs and financial existence, you know, survival in all these different aspects, we are again fragmenting ourselves, or we're tearing our essence apart. Because we're not seeing the wholeness of who we are, or the wholeness of who we can be. In fact, the word are is a form of the word to be, so it applies. We must not forget that we are human beings. That is fundamental to this whole discussion, is my feeling. I may sound like I'm preaching, but we are not getting this from our leaders, and we are not getting this from our spiritual leaders, the religious leaders, depending on what one's faith is. They're not really responsible. We are responsible. We individually, and we are responsible for allowing them to take control of us. Now, keeping that in mind, if we individually recognize that we are, in our purest sense, unfragmented or undivided or whole, then we have half the battle won right there. Then we recognize that wholeness in everyone else, and it's pretty simple. We won't see others as anything else and other than how we see ourselves, but we have to be able to see ourselves as whole, as healthy, as sane, and we have to understand that, and you brought up the word knowledge, it's very appropriate that you bring that up, that knowledge is something quite different from belief. And I've spoken about this, you and I alike have spoken about this, Jim, this illusion that has been created for us that they like to call our reality. There's nothing real about it except what we give it, what prominence or what importance we give it as being our reality. If we want to see ourselves as suffering, then we are suffering if the reality was to make us suffer. Again, if we disavow or we fail to recognize our potential and who we really are individually, then they will succeed. Anyone will succeed in fragmenting us or breaking us apart or causing us to see ourselves as something other than who we really are. Each person has that responsibility to himself or herself, and then to the whole of mankind. We must recognize that. Until we do that, we will not survive. Our concern is about our survival. Our concern is about how we have overpopulated the earth. Our concern is about meeting these debts that have been created out of thin air, out of illusion, and out of a series of events designed to disempower us, to fragment us, to cause us to see ourselves as less than who we are. And as a result, we are trapped in this vicious circle. Now, you mentioned the word evolution, and I'm glad you did, because to change that, we need a revolution. But we think of a revolution as the overthrowing of a government or a system. We think of it as going to war, and we visualize bloodshed and more suffering. And really, a revolution is nothing but going around in a circle. And so we have to be able to step out of the revolution in order to evolve, in order to progress forward, or upward might be a better way to describe it. Now, the key, I think, at this point would be to ask the question as to where this knowledge is. Is it outside of ourselves, or is it inside of ourselves? And I... You have mentioned on past shows, Jim, that we're born with everything we need to survive in a life. We have all the tools, all the intelligence, all the abilities, whether they're subconscious or conscious, we have all of that already in us. And I have said that as well. And yet, for some reason, we disavow that. We don't pay attention to that. But I think this looking outside of ourselves is our first error, because it's already inside ourselves. In fact, what we see outside of ourselves is an expression of what is inside ourselves, and vice versa. What is inside us and how we use it is an expression of what we have outside. So we just need to pinpoint the differences. Now when we look at knowledge, which you brought up, and rightfully so, We say knowledge is that other than which is assumed. We are in a belief system. I'm sure you would agree. We believe in certain things, and we accept readily what we're told to believe even if we disagree with it. I hear people talking about, well, I'm going to vote for Barack Obama because he's better than John McCain. I've seen nothing substantial on either of the presidential candidates to make me want to vote for either one. And knowing what I know from having researched who they are, they're not even Americans. And by American law, they're not allowed, they're not qualified, and they should not be running for the presidency. So there's an agenda that we are being forced to accept because we believe that we have no other choice. Now, once we gain the knowledge, it becomes known, it is in the past. We are now dealing with the past, and we are inclined, going through this revolution, this vicious circle, to keep repeating our mistakes. We have to stop using the past as a means to go forward and create the future. We are reactive to what is being done to us, and we must step out of reaction and become proactive or creative. Any comments about that?
Well, I'm glad you allowed me to say a word there. Yeah, I have a couple of interesting
You make
comments.
It sound like I'm hogging the mic. Go ahead.
I think we know each other well enough that that's not the case, but I was itching to say a few things because you brought up some good points during that little soliloquy. The thing that I thought was most intriguing was in your more opening remarks there about, you know, is the knowledge within us or without or outside of us, you might say. And yeah, we're born, you know, with everything we need in a certain sense. But I would like to address those two points as a way of catapulting us to the next level of this discussion. First of all, I do believe that we're born with everything we need in the sense that there is a natural truth meter in all of us, which if it doesn't get too damaged by the experiences of life, we can actually use to steer through this quagmire of existence that we've been submersed in. It's not an easy thing to develop because the programming that we endure as we proceed through this life, which is essentially arranged for us, is designed to squash or squelch the use of the internal truth meter. We start to rely on the external as being the guiding force to tell us what's true and what isn't true. And that internal mechanism can atrophy just like an arm or leg or finger, an eyeball, or any other part of our bodies or minds without being used on a regular basis. And so that is what happens in a lot of cases. People, they give up using the internal steering mechanism, which is linked to the ultimate truth of the universe, and we start to rely solely on the external instructions which are given to us, and as a result of that, we become sheep and not people, or sheeple, as the latest title is. The other thing that you said, which is important, is reality or is knowledge within us or external to us? And actually, it's kind of both. And this is really interesting because here's the way I perceive things. And of course, you know, this gets down to some stuff which is really difficult to discuss anyway, Don, because, you know, basic perceptions are very, very confusing issues at which people don't really pay a lot of attention to. But the difference between the subjective world and the objective world is literally enormous. And that difference is probably as varied as there are beings in the universe. So there isn't a whole lot we can do about that, but we do our best to limp through it. Like, for instance, you and I had a discussion once about if we're both looking at an apple, and I say to you, what color is that, Don? And you say, it's red. And I say, yeah, I agree, it's red. Well, the objective perception is in agreement. But the problem is, we'll never be able to know if your subjective appreciation of red is the same as my appreciation of red. So even though we agree on a common definition for an external stimulus, we have no way of knowing if our internal perception of that agreed upon stimulus is the same for both of us.
And then we have the issue. Yeah, we have the issue that the skin is red, but the apple itself is a different color.
Well, of course. But what I'm getting at is that even though we look at the same external world, we have no proof that our internal utilization or experience of that world is common to both of us as the external stimuli would suggest. And in that way, we're very much alone as individuals in the universe. And that's one reason why it's so important, and always has been, for people to cluster together and bolster their common experience. And this is the reason why you have all these different factions. People that see things certain ways have a tendency to group together because they lend support to each other's perceptions. But the real basic thing that's going on here, in my opinion, is that if you use your eyeball, your eyes, the organ of your eyes, as the dividing line between the interior, if you will, and the exterior. Anything that's beyond your body is, you almost need to look at that as being a place where things are infinitely variable. Almost anything you can imagine goes on out there. Even things you can't imagine go on out there. And then that information comes in through the filter of our senses, and it's acted upon by our intellect. And due to the way we're conditioned and the things we believe in, we literally modify what the senses show us so that it becomes tolerable to our belief system. And so even within each of us, there are different worlds. There's the external world, which we perceive internally in accordance with the way we need to see it. And neither of those two things represent the ultimate truth. Now, the thing that's interesting here is the people that have taken charge of the planet, don't fool yourselves. I mean, they're evil as the day is long. But they're also extremely cunning. And they have a very, very advanced knowledge of all these matters in which they have spent centuries investing time and money to learn the best way to exploit this information and to guide the sheep through the corrals and through the various pathways into processing plants and slaughterhouses, wherever they want to send them. And unfortunately, like sheep, most people just go through life assuming everything is fine because this is the way it's set up. Well, here and there, you have one radical individual that says, wait a minute, I'm not following the herd. I don't perceive things this way. And I want to experience something different from the rest. So he'll break ranks from the rest of the herd and climb a hill and take the broader look around. And suddenly he says, holy mackerel, there's much more to the world than, you know, just following blindlessly along these pre-established trails. And so I want to be a navigator in my own right and go and do the things I want to do. I don't want to be with the herd. And to make that decision requires not only a certain amount of guts, but it actually requires enough consciousness to come to the realization that something is wrong. Now, even though the world is really going downhill quite quickly in our latter days here, or whatever you want to call this time period, there is one beneficial thing that's happening. As these, I'm trying to look for a polite way of describing something that I really find disgusting, but these subhuman reptilian leaders that we have, as they crank up their system more and more with the enthusiasm of reaching the goal of dominating the planet, the one thing that they don't realize is that their activities become more and more evil and more exposing, even to the point where people that are less conscious than the few rogues that are out there are beginning to perceive that things are wrong and that there's something else going on. You know, so essentially, in the drive to reach their successful domination of the planet, they are, in a sense, accelerating the consciousness of people who normally wouldn't notice. And this is happening because they're so greedy and so stupid that they keep on tightening the noose and tightening the vice on all of us to the point where even the dumbest of us are beginning to wake up and say, you know what, I'm not comfortable, something's wrong. So therein lies the whole thing that we need to focus on. How do you shift this consciousness? And you had asked earlier, what is the mechanism that allows this type of a quantum leap in or sudden realization that something is wrong? Well, you and I do this instinctively by years of using our mind to do research. And you find that the mind, any mind, is capable of two modes of activity. It can just sit there as a processor and wait for influx of information to act upon, which is kind of like the passive mode, and that's the way they want us to be. They want us to just receive the inputs that they supply and then appear to be making our own decisions, where in reality the decisions are actually prepackaged and arranged in such a way as to give us the illusion that we are making the decisions on our own. Okay, but the other way that the mind can operate is that it can sort of send out a beam, if you will, an effort of exploration to examine the world and ponder upon what is going on out there from our own point of view, rather than to rely on what we're being spoon-fed. And when you do that, you empower a totally different part of our being that is linked to this internal truth meter. And you will stumble around a lot. You will have a lot of difficulty. You will have to put an enormous amount of effort into reawakening those facilities. But once you do that, you will be in a position where you can make entirely different judgments, because your perceptions of what's happening will change. And, you know, there are numerous ways that you can bring that facility back to life, but the most important way is by using that part of your being as opposed to allowing it to slumber. You have to start really looking at what's out there and examining it in great detail and pondering upon, why is it like this? You know, and in the way the world is set up, everything is commercial. And so, since that's the case, and it isn't the only thing that there is to life, by the way, it should automatically set off an alarm in your mind and say, why is it that every single thing we do is related to money? Isn't there something else to life besides money? Well, the one good thing about that, folks, is It's like Hansel and Gretel walking in the woods and leaving a breadcrumb trail so they could find their way back to their home. If you follow the money trail in an effort to find out why the world is operating only in this mode of greed and avarice, you'll eventually get to an understanding of the fact that it's set up this way deliberately. And then you don't have to take Don's word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. You will, in fact, be able to make your own judgment and say, holy mackerel, have I been scammed? There's much more to life than this endless trail of green, useless paper. So that's a good place to at least step off into this other reality you were talking about, Don.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that this has been going on for centuries. I would even suggest it's been going on for millennia. And, you know, at least 13,000 years, that's been agreed by many researchers that despite the obfuscation of history and the rewriting of the true history of what has occurred on this planet, we have been given a story as to how we were created and how we have evolved. And yet, if you look at this, just the story of our evolution, we've not evolved at all. If anything, we've devolved. And right now, the world is devolving. That brings to mind a basic scientific premise that for every reaction, or I should say every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As they tighten this vice, they are also, and which is evil, they are loosening the consciousness of what is good. And that's why people are waking up. They would prefer that we only see the evil or only see the control, the propaganda, which is nothing but chaotic thought. In fact, they see the power of the mind, and they see the power behind quashing the normal thought processes and impeding the flow of information into our mind on a conscious and on a subconscious level. In fact, really the only methods they have used are subconscious methods. They have to use technology that's imperceptible to the ordinary five senses, discounting the fact that, pardon me, many of us have six senses right now. And many of us who are very conscious of the sixth sense are aware that the sixth sense is in overdrive right about now with the changes that are occurring and taking place. The fact that we have been controlled for such a long time is what spurred me along this line of thought for tonight's show, was to look at the fact that despite what they tell us about how good the economy is, and they stress that because that's the method of control. That's all they can talk about is the economy, about taking money here and putting it there as if that's going to fix the problem. And who produces the money, or who produces the effort that represents the money? It is we, and it is often, or most of the time, against our sovereign will or our sovereign choices, what we would call freedom. And I would submit that freedom, or within freedom, is the path to knowledge. And knowledge also in the converse also produces freedom. And so our lack of knowledge, or our let's say putting our attention on old knowledge, on the past, has been our biggest mistake. How do you keep something from changing or from progressing? You hold it back. You hold it in a paradigm inside the box where change is not allowed to occur. What is the change Barack Obama promises in his campaign mantra? He hasn't defined that. And when he has made an attempt, he contradicts himself. He's for peace while he's going to send more soldiers to Iraq or Afghanistan. He's for ending the war, though he's going to perpetuate it in the next sentence. And it's the same with John McCain. It doesn't matter who these people are. They're not individuals speaking. They're puppets speaking for the controllers, period. And that is a fact that so few see. Yet it is the reality of every political election that has ever occurred on this planet. And despite who you may support or who you have your attention on, they already have decided who is going to win and how they're going to go about creating that result. Whether it's through corrupt machines, corrupt counting, or corrupt voting populace. They'll come up with a means of producing the result that they choose for their drama, for their play, for their movie script. And all they're doing is following a script. We can change all that by coming to an awareness, a consciousness about who we really are, how we were created, and who we really are. And it's not as difficult or complicated as we make it. I think it's just as simple as recognizing that we seek to be whole and that we each have that power within us to become whole. And just to recognize what we do, is it contrary to being whole? What we think, is it contrary to being whole in thought? This nonsense about I have to have another person in my life to make me feel whole is playing out the very setup that they've created for us. We are each capable of being whole in and of ourselves. I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
No, that's true. As a matter of fact, what I was going to point out was even the action of voting itself, we take it for granted because we've been had it drummed into our heads ever since we were kids that it's our most cherished freedom. But actually, it's not. There's nothing free about it, as you pointed out. The whole thing has been preordained, and yet here we are with reality staring us in the face. Two artificial candidates that your write-ups have explored the backgrounds of, who really don't exist in the normal sense of the term, and we are given two of these artificial individuals to choose between. It's the same philosophy that's utilized in multiple choice questions. You know, if you're only given two answers, you got to choose one or the other. That's not the same as an essay question. And here we are with two questions and two answers, and they provided both the questions and the answers. And then we're going to be herded into these voting processing centers, which, we are programmed to do. And we're going to have to choose either one or the other. And it doesn't matter who we choose because, either way they win. Well, if I had something to say about it, I would throw a monkey wrench into the entire system. And it's very easy to do. Just imagine how interesting it would be. If on November, whatever it is, that everybody is waiting for, was it the 14th? Nobody votes. I mean, literally nobody. Just don't vote. I'll guarantee you one or the other is going to get in there anyway. And yet everybody can say, well, that's strange. I stayed home. And everybody else will say, yeah, I stayed home too. I wonder how that happened. If you do something that's totally contrary to test the waters, it's going to force something to happen. Now, Obama's out there talking about change. Just imagine how much change there would be if nobody voted. It would be the most astonishing thing that ever happened. And I think there would be an incredible result, even if it's totally unpredictable. It would certainly be different than what you would normally expect.
Yes.
And we'd be forcing their hand. But you have to do something like that in order to see something change. You have to test the waters in order to get to the point where there's some kind of feedback that either negates or reinforces the position you've taken.
Yes, Jim, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back, okay? Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest Jim Murray and I will be right back. Don't go away.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Houston, we have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
Back with our second segment of Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Jim, I had to cut you off right in mid-sentence there, but we were at that point where we had to take a break. You still with us?
I sure am.
Okay. Do you remember your train of thought at that moment?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I was simply using that as an example, but the point is, you know, if you want to expand your consciousness, you have to test the reality around you. That's really what it comes down to. That is, in fact, the essence of the scientific principle. You know, you come up with a theory, and if you just sit in a coffee house and argue about the theory among your associates, you will never really prove or disprove it. You have to go out and build a machine or do a test or, you know, find a way to make an experiment to prove or disprove the hypothesis. And so the same thing really holds true for all of us when we're exploring the reality of our lives. You know, if we want to really be like sheep and get herded down various trails without question, okay, that's fine. That's your choice. But for the people who really want to find out what's going on, then they've got to test their reality. And so, you know, in a nonviolent way, too, which is always better, because otherwise you give them, excuse to become even more belligerent. But I was using voting as an example. Okay, here we got, you know, essentially a multiple choice situation, you know, and we're saying, there's two candidates, which is really both answers to the multiple choice question, A or B. You know, like, who do you want for president? A, you got Obama, and B, you got the other guy. And, we say, we're so caught up in the method of running to the voting machine, whether it's programmed or not, doesn't really matter, because we're programmed. You're running to the voting machine, and you're going to make selection A or selection B. Well, the irony of it is they've provided both selections. They've provided the voting machine, and they have provided the programming that makes you go to the voting machine. So if you want to test reality, here's a good way to do it. Just don't vote. Don't vote at all. If nobody voted, and I mean nobody, it would certainly throw a monkey wrench into that situation, and I think it would be a very interesting experiment. Of course, I know that it won't happen. That's why it's safe to say it. But that is a good example of what you have to do to find out what's going on. Now, I'll give you another example, which is right out of my own life. I started finding out about all this business, I guess it was back in the 80s. And I've told that story a number of times, how I met the guy who was a descendant of the people who had the control of the French Mint. And he started putting me wise to the fact that the government didn't operate the way we were taught it did, and the Federal Reserve had nothing to do with the federal government, and on and on and on. So ultimately, it got to the point where, you know, the things I was interested in were, okay, what about the laws that affect my everyday life? And so, you know, I started testing the waters with traffic tickets, with citations, with other things that we normally take for granted, you know, with credit card companies and all these things, to really find out what are the limits, you know, how much of this stuff are we expected to take without question, and where does the artificial reality end and the real world begin? And I took some risks, and I had to study a lot, and I had to mingle with people and learn and do it the hard way. But what's the difference if you find out the answer? I mean, isn't that what it's all about?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're facing a choice right coming soon, if these people have their way, where you're either going to just give up altogether and do whatever they tell you, or you're finally going to come to the conclusion, hey, you know, I should have done something different years ago. But by that time, it's going to be too late. And that's the reason why Don and myself and others keep on making this clamor for people to wake up and test your world, because it's not too late to change it.
Yes, I agree with you. Now, part of the reason we do this has to do with a certain conviction that we have that the truth should prevail. Regardless of the price, the truth should prevail. And if you want to talk about knowledge or higher consciousness, you're talking about something as simple as a vibration that's at a higher frequency. And the crippling effect of what has been done is based upon the fact that we have been overexposed to the basest of frequencies. Everything from earthquakes to electromagnetic radiation of all types, extremely low frequencies in the radio spectrum, or in the audio spectrum, and pulsation of light, and it's the pulsation that's the low frequency. Light in and of itself is a much higher frequency, but when it's used to control the perception of the eyes and the mind and the synapses in the brain and the nervous system, and even to affect us at a cellular level, the more attention we give to that, the more we empower it. It still does not exonerate us from our responsibility to be who we said we would be when we came into this form. Now, that is going to stretch many people's belief system right there, because people are at a level of consciousness in general where they cannot comprehend having made the decision to enter into life. We've been told, and it's been force-fed us, even throughout our lives, that, you know, you live once. You come here and it's a roll of the dice as to whether you're going to be rich or successful, as they like to call it, or you're going to be poor and you're going to suffer and you're going to starve. Well, I'm noticing a very unusual characteristic about the successful people on the planet. They seem to be losing everything they have. And they seem to not be as successful as they used to be. And so how do you explain that? What are they doing wrong? Or is it that the system is designed to consume them as well? And I would suggest that that's probably the reality of it, that no one can really escape it. As long as you're buying it hook, line, and sinker and subscribing to what's being done to us, whether it's on a governmental level, you know, a political level or a sociological level, cultural level, they're erasing cultural differences. They're erasing the creative aspect of who we are in terms of our genetic makeup, our racial makeup, our sociological makeup, or our geographical location. And they've turned this into a demographic statistic where you're evaluated or you're counted as a number, you're given a number even to identify you, and you're not treated as anything other than a line entry in somebody's computer. There has to be something more profound about life and being here on this planet. And we all have an obligation, whether anyone wants to agree with me or not, we have an obligation. We all came here with a purpose, for a purpose, and we made a promise, or we took an oath to fulfill that to the best of our ability. And most are not even aware of that, let alone are they fulfilling it. Sort of rambling around senselessly, some feeling like victims, others feeling lost and uncertain about the path, as if they're moping around in the dark, or as if they're blind and asleep in the daylight. Any comment, Jim?
Yeah, I sure do. I think you kind of hit one of the nails on the head with that last set of comments, because here's the way things are usually done in the world, and I've watched this happen. I raised children of my own. I've seen the forces that are brought to bear on them, And I know that this is essentially the way people's minds are trained to work. It's like the educational system presents you with a bunch of stuff that supposedly readies you for the world. Then you eventually have to embrace higher education. And you have to choose, again, it's a multiple choice type thing, a career. Okay, well, the interesting thing about it is most people who are really well steeped in the program will make a judgment based on earning capability. Okay, you know, like, for instance, what's the highest paying jobs that you can get? Doctors, lawyers, you know, politicians. It's all about how much monetary gain you can amass in your lifetime, how many cars you can have, how big is your house, how comfortably can you live. And we get caught up in this system that winds up dragging you down various pathways and consuming your life energy in these various pursuits. And it's really ironic because what we're chasing is an illusion. You know, so you make $300,000 a year. What does that mean? It means that you have this collection of strange certificates with pretty pictures on them that says you have 300,000 of them coming to you every year, but in essence, they aren't worth anything. You know, when you start to look at it that way, it makes you wonder, why am I doing this? The real way that I believe nature intended us to go through life was to feel an inkling inside, a passion inside that says, I don't care how much money I earn, I want to paint. Or I don't care how much money I earn, you know, I want to build houses. I don't care how much money I earn, I love electricity. I don't care how much money I earn, I want to drive a train. You know, that's really the mechanism that's instilled in each of us. And I know I went through a period in my life where I questioned what it was I was going to do. And I met a guy one time and told me the best way to find out what it is you really want out of life is to imagine yourself in front of a huge crowd that's there to honor you for an achievement. And then you ask yourself in your mind, what is it that they're cheering about? What have I accomplished? And you know, without giving it a lot of thought, whatever pops up into your head is more likely what you're supposed to be doing with your life. And, you know, for me, from the age of about 7, I knew that it was research and development. It's the only thing I cared about. And I got news for you. I'm not rolling in money, but I wouldn't exchange my life for anybody else's because the adventures I've had and the things I've learned and the potential that could come out of the work that I've chosen to pursue makes that all worthwhile. And ultimately, when this system collapses, the few bucks that I have and the hundreds of millions that somebody else have are essentially going to be worth the same. Nothing. So who's the richer? The richer one is the one who has pursued what their God-given talents designed them to pursue and has invested his energies and his faith in doing something for the enrichment of others and the betterment of the world. And that's what I think is the most important way to determine what we should be doing. Not belonging to that fancy golf club or what do they call it, country club, or driving that flashy car, or making $500,000, or in some cases, $50 million a year. You know, those people are never happy anyway. You know, believe me, just look around you. You know, all I want is more. And yet they never really achieve anything worthwhile. So there has to be something else. And it's that something else that also defines who we are and gets back to the opening premise of this whole show, don't you think, Don?
Yes. In fact, if what you just said is true, then we're wasting our time, aren't we?
Well, it depends on who's the we.
Well, I'm saying it as a collective species. In general,
believe we're wasting our time. I'm sorry. I definitely believe we're wasting our time, because if you really look at the world from God's eye, so to speak, you know, all you're going to see is like a bunch of little ants running in circles, being very busy every day, but everything kind of stays the same. It's that empty form of busyness that doesn't really accomplish anything. On the other hand, if all the people who really wanted to study medicine, and all the people who really wanted to paint, and all the people who really wanted to be architects were given the support and the free rein to develop themselves in accordance with their talents and to fulfill their God-given destinies, this would not be, you wouldn't recognize this place. I mean, this earth would be of the paradise it was meant to be. And we're prevented from that. And that is done deliberately. I don't care how you cut it. That is definitely done deliberately. Because everything is structured in such a way that you absolutely have to struggle to be creative nowadays. Especially if it's in an obtuse direction. You know, if it's in a direction that's sanctioned by the system, that's another story. You get some latitude there. But try and do something, for instance, to eliminate the consumption of oil or to give independent power to everybody's home without being connected to the utility grid. Now you find out just how free you really are. And the interesting thing about it, getting back to what we said earlier, the way that that's all curtailed and controlled is by the money supply. So, you know, if you're going out to do something that's in conjunction with their thinking, there's all kinds of money available. But if you want to do something that's contrary to their design, there's no money available. And I always use this as a as an extreme example, but it's absolutely true. You know, everybody who's ever heard my voice on this show knows that I have been engaged in independent research since 1967. And with the exception of some really wonderful people who have helped me to go along the path that I have chosen, essentially I've paid for it and done most of it on my own. But the interesting thing is, if I had chosen to become a drug lord or a gun runner or anything of that sort, I guarantee you I wouldn't have had any trouble. How easy do you suppose it is to become a drug dealer? How easy do you suppose it is to get into the weapons racket or to engage in some other subverted activity? I mean, the mere fact that those things are the easier paths and you actually find assistance in those directions, that tells you what kind of forces are in control of this planet. Do you think I'm being too rash in making that statement, Don?
No, not at all. In fact, you're reminding me of the topic that I sort of improvised Wednesday night. I had we had trouble getting through to our scheduled guest on that night, and so I sort of had to wing it at the last moment, and I sort of just allowed the spirit to flow through me, and I came out with a pretty profound message about waking up and our responsibilities. We've taken it to a much higher level, and but there was a lot of emotion that came out, and I have to tell you, and I told the audience, that emotion came out through the spirit. I was nothing but the messenger. That information just flowed through me, Jim, and it evoked a lot of response from the listening audience, especially when it came to email later on, and people were encouraging me because of the nature of the message. Some people may have felt that I was disgusted or I was giving up or something, but in reality, I was just moving the energy to a different place. And it's a place that I often move the energy toward, but nonetheless, I felt like it had to be addressed. I was disgusted with what I was seeing on this coverage of debates. They want to call it a debate. There's nothing further from a debate. Here, you have two people agreeing in public before millions of people that they have no substance, that they're not thinking, that they're being controlled by some other force outside of themselves, and they're being totally dishonest about who they are and what they stand for, and yet you have people remarking as to the quality of their performance. Which one won? Which one was more convincing? More the same claptrap, the mindlessness coming from the media afterwards. I have to tell you, I was angry about the media. I was angry, insulted by the level of corruption, and it is corrupt to propagandize people's minds, to misrepresent the truth, or to not even represent the truth at all. What it is, I have no name for it. And this show, you mentioned Hansel and Gretel following the breadcrumbs. This show is called Evident Footprints for a reason. And it is evident, and they leave their footprints and their fingerprints or their paw prints on everything they touch and every place they set their feet. We must recognize that we are greater than what we have been portrayed to be. What we are told, the images that we are shown as if they are something to live up to or something to strive toward is so far removed from who we are. Even the mushrooms that you refer to occasionally have more intelligence than what we're given. I have to say also in terms of what we're talking about tonight, we're not asking anyone to believe us, but we're talking now about knowing something, and I think there's a lot of truth coming out in what we're saying tonight, and those listeners out there that have been wondering, what can I do, what should I do, you have to go within yourself and look and examine yourself, but start to perceive yourself as a whole being. And if you don't feel whole, if your circumstances in your life are not whole, make a determination on what that would be to be a whole human being. And keep in mind what the fallacies that we're pointing out and the illusions. So a lot of people think, boy, if I had $1 million, I would be fine. That would solve all my problems. Look at the millionaires and the billionaires that are suffering right now from their own devices, their own demise. There isn't glory in being rich. At least the type of richness that they portray, that they have us strive for unconsciously, is their downfall. Rejoice in the fact that truth is coming forward. Recognize that truth. And it makes this show tonight and the topic that we're discussing and the truth that's coming out all the more evident that there is a simple path that doesn't require any money, doesn't require any food, doesn't require any special education other than to just recognize what is real and what is false and make a choice. You have that choice. I'll tell you, Jim, I'm at a point, and I even mentioned this to my listening audience, I will not take responsibility for those that choose to stay asleep through all of this, to remain unconscious through all of this. They're working out their karma. Go ahead.
There's no way you can take responsibility for them anyway. How are you going to do that? I mean, it's evident, you know, that we have to be responsible for ourselves. And frankly, you know, that's the whole thing that got us into this mess anyway, is the fact that we're willing to let somebody else guide our lives. You know, if you stop and think about it, how many of human beings in this country have ever met a congressman or a senator? Very, very few, I'll wager. And yet, we have this strange, I don't even know what you want to call it, tendency to believe that these knuckleheads have some great power that allows them to make decisions for our lives. You know, and we give them the power to do everything. You know, they save money for us in the Social Security system. What? We can't have money? We don't have the discipline to put money aside for ourselves? You know, they make laws for us. They do everything for us. But the point is, they really do it for themselves. And we would never have been in this position if we stood on our own 2 feet from the get-go and said, I'm the one that's steering this boat. I'm responsible for my own life. I'm not going to let some pinhead in Washington tell me what to do. You know, it's not supposed to work that way. What happened to the spine that was once worldwide renowned in all Americans? Where did that spine go? Where did that intestinal fortitude go? Where did that Yankee ingenuity go? You think it was dissolved by the fluorine in the drinking water? Or the pesticides in our foods? Or maybe the radiation coming from millions and millions of TV sets? Something is inherently wrong, and if we don't wake up, there isn't going to be an America. And it's going to be soon, folks. We're not talking about Buck Rogers' future here. We're talking about maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month. It's coming soon. And I'm telling you, the only answer is to put your consciousness in high gear and take responsibility for yourselves. Don't be afraid to test the waters. What the heck is the matter with people? Don't accept everything that they spoon-feed you out there. Find out what's real. Find out what's really going on. I mean, most people don't even know, you know, what their basic freedoms are. Have you read the Constitution? Have you read the Bill of Rights? You know, if you don't know what your freedoms are supposed to be, how are you going to know when they're missing? The responsibility is on us, whether you choose to recognize it or not. Isn't that so, Don?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned the word freedom, too, and I'll tell you, I have been around the world, and I've been to countries that I was told prior to going were not places which were free. And I have to tell you, I experienced more freedom there than I'm experiencing here now with a certainty. I can tell you that. That doesn't mean that those places haven't changed either, because these same issues face people in Europe and Asia and other parts of the world. Some places have always been that way, under oppression. What do you think is the mindset of a country, or let's say a government, that has to put cameras up everywhere, monitoring every literal action that a person makes from the time they get up and walk out of the building where they live, whether it's a house or an apartment or a hotel or whatever, and they go about their business. Every street corner in London, they're being photographed. Along the highways, in front of all the stores and the places where these people do business or where they work. And the places they use to travel from one place to another. Everything is being monitored. What is the benefit of that? And who does that serve? Does that serve us? Does that serve the fear-mongering that they put out, which is their creation? Does it stop the terrorism that they create and misrepresent as being of some other source of another thing that they created? It's one illusion after another. And if you stop a moment and get off the merry-go-round and look at what's going on, you have to see that something is not just terribly wrong or terribly unjust, but it's insane. I don't know what else to say, Jim.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It is insane. And the interesting thing about it is most of the stuff that you described in that last paragraph or two basically is reflective of a paranoid government. And, you know, that's exactly what's going on. They are terrified that the cat is going to get out of the bag. And I hope it does very, very soon, because if the American people ever realize how drastically they have been screwed, there won't be a politician left alive. And that's not a rash statement. That's absolute fact. But, yeah. You know, it's because of that fact that they're taking all these precautions and they're talking about, you know, martial law and the Patriot Act and all these powers that they keep giving themselves. If they were really such a benign group of people with our best interest in mind, what the heck do they need so much power for? Anybody ever ask that question? You know, it's so obvious. But I think the other thing, Don, that's a very big disappointment is Americans, for some reason, have reached a point where most of them don't want to be involved. They don't want to rock the boat. They just want to get on with their lives. Well, you know, you have to start asking yourself the question, what kind of lives are you going to have when this becomes an absolute fascist dictatorship? I mean, it's coming, you know. The handwriting is very, very large on the wall right now. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you're bringing up another valid point that just underscores everything else we've been talking about. You know, we began. At least in my mind, I'm searching for solutions, and to me, it becomes quite apparent that if I address these issues on a personal basis, where I fit into all of this, I can't recall making all these promises. I can't recall giving up my freedom or ever agreeing that would be conditional. And someone who has, you know, over time, because their bloodline has been in control, is the reason why I have to go along with it. I have trouble with that, as I'm sure many in the listening audience have. Or they wouldn't listen to shows about spirituality because there's nothing spiritual about these people. They are devoid of spirit. Now, those that listen to uplifting shows about becoming conscious, I'm speaking about, you know, whether it's somebody who's channeling information from a higher dimension or someone who's a psychic or a healer and they're helping you straighten out personal issues in your life. There's nothing wrong with that at all, as long as you're getting the whole picture, as long as you're seeing who you really are. Then again, there's another example of someone doing the work for you, the work that you could be doing yourself. And if I listen to those shows myself, I hear the people telling the callers how to get a handle on their lives, how to correct these patterns, which are revolving. It's another example of the revolution turning in a vicious circle, repeating the same mistakes over and over, hoping that this time, if I do this again, at least if I pay attention that I'm doing it, I'm going to get a different result. This planet,
you know, unfortunately, that's the definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the same thing over and over again, and expecting a different result is a process that's only engaged upon by an unhinged mind. You know, I hate to say it, but that's basically true. You know, you just can't keep repeating the same mistakes and doing the exact same things you did before and expect something different to happen. It doesn't work. And if you persist at it, it's a pretty good indication there's something wrong with your head. You know, there's an old saying that I used to be kind of enamored with at one point. It says that he who controls a thing can destroy the thing. And you have to realize that that's really what's behind the way the government operates. You know, they realize that if the public is conscious of the fact that we control the government, we can dispense with it whenever necessary. And that's actually written into all of the laws laid down by the Founding Fathers. If a government gets to the point where it's not serving the people and doing what it's supposed to be doing, the people have the ability to say, hey, wait a minute, time for a revamp. And this government's behavior is neurotic because on the one hand, they have their own agenda, which they are totally devoted to. That has nothing to do with the welfare of the people. But on the other hand, they realize that they're walking on eggs because sooner or later, the public is going to wake up and the heads are going to roll. You know, you talk about history repeating itself. How many times has this happened down through the centuries? You know, the French Revolution, all of the wars and all of the other calamities that have happened down through history can all be traced, if not to manipulations by the controlling class, certainly to the unrest of the public when they become aware of how they're being manipulated. It's the same garbage over and over again. So naturally these people are neurotic because even though they want what they're pursuing, they don't want to be caught. And those are two opposing forces. And nobody can have a healthy mind that's forced to operate under those conditions. And unfortunately, that type of behavior and the forces that the government is exerting also makes the people neurotic. So, you know, sooner or later, there's going to be a massive breakdown on somebody's behalf. It's either going to happen within the government or it's going to happen within the people. But these forces can't continue to grow unchecked indefinitely. You know,
at the top of the show, I mentioned survival. That humanity is focused on this. Maybe it's very unconscious, but people are driven by the innate drive to survive. And what survival means to one person is a totally different thing to another. To the homeless person out there on the street, it's having a piece of cardboard to lie on, and if they're fortunate enough, maybe having a second piece of cardboard to use as a blanket to block the wind or the rain, or maybe a piece of plastic. And to that same person, survival is getting whatever their fix is for the next day, if that's maybe some food or a bottle of wine or whiskey or a drug that they can get out on the street. anything to get them by to the next moment when they again become overcome by that addiction or that compulsion. And then you have the people whose total act of survival is just meeting the house payment, meeting the car payment, buying what they feel they have to acquire to compete with their next door neighbor. Use the example of mowing the lawn on one show where the guy spent all his time getting the lawn down to half an inch and you suggested he grow moss, which is also green, and he wouldn't have to mow it. It's a perspective, but it's all related to the level of consciousness in that individual and how much they have bought into the illusions, the matrix. People are asking this question, Jim, which is why I chose to tackle this topic in the way we did tonight. And I'm hoping that we got the message across. We could go on for hours and talk about other aspects, but just opening up the topic and getting people to realize that we are human beings and very few of us are actually being. We are reacting. We're not being in the purest sense. We're out of touch with our creator, our source. Really, the all
and ourselves.
The all of who we are, and that puts us out of touch with ourselves. Exactly, that's what I was about to say.
Well, you know, you touch on the word being, and it's really important because I'll throw something out at you, which I know is true. When you were a kid, I'm sure that you were much more in touch with yourself. And I'll bet dimes to donuts that you didn't have some task at your disposal every working minute of the day. I mean, every waking minute of the day. Alternatively, you go somewhere and sit peacefully and just watch or feel or become engrossed with some aspect of your surroundings. I mean, I know I did this. I used to go down and sit by the ocean in New Jersey or sit by a lake or go out in the meadowlands and just be alone, feel the wind on my face and, you know, get away from everything so that I could join with my surroundings and with nature. That is what being is all about. You have to be aware of what you are in order to enjoy just being. Now, in today's world, there's no time to do that at all. And try and tell me that that's not done by design. If you are kept from conjoining with your true nature, you are essentially being forced into a mold and accelerated at a pace that is determined by outside forces. You are not alive in the true sense of the term. And this is the kind of thing that people are missing, is that inner peace, that tranquility that comes from just being able to sit back and feel the satisfaction of being alive, with no pressure to do anything, and just enjoy being part of the world. That's one of the main things that's been denied to all of us with the program that we're immersed in now. And it's only one of the many things that we're missing, but to be honest with you, it's one of the key things. Because it's only at those moments that you truly reflect on what you are, what life is supposed to be, and you have time to get in touch with your inner self and open the gates to higher inspiration. And that's the last thing that these people who control the planet want, is for you to have higher inspirations. Only they can do that. And if nothing else, that right there should be all the impetus that you need, not only to realize your situation, but to feel the real passions of rebellion against the way in which we're being forced to live.
That's so true. And speaking of nature, nature is created in such a way that it takes care of itself. The animals are preoccupied with feeding themselves and procreating and raising their young. But they teach their young to do the things necessary to survive. And they don't need our interference to be able to do that. They are created as perfect beings and do quite well without our interference. It's when we interfere that they meet their downfall. And somehow we disregard that as well.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't disregard it too much because, to be quite honest with you, when the human race is gone, the world will heal itself and go right back to the way it was. And that's a very sobering thought for anybody that's a megalomaniac. They realize how easy it is for this particular species to be gone and for the planet not to even notice. As a matter of fact, there was a show on TV here a few months back called After Man, and it basically showed that even the mightiest cities, there wouldn't even be a trace left within 10,000 years. And that's a very interesting number because it's just about 10,500 years ago that most archaeological evidence points to the disappearance of the Atlantean culture on Earth. And it's so thoroughly gone, with the exception of a few ruins here and there and some other surviving evidence, that people are not even sure if it existed. So just imagine if that was to happen worldwide with the disappearance of humanity. It wouldn't be long before some other species would probably take center stage. The planet would heal itself and continue on its way. And so, you know, we should give serious thought to that because we are expendable and our destiny is in our own hands.
Well, in terms of this matrix, we're expendable too. that's
very obvious.
Yeah, that's one aspect of that reality that works on both ends of the spectrum. Well, in our closing moments, Jim, I want to thank you for spending the time and sharing your insights in a rather difficult topic. I don't know. Am I being overly optimistic in simplifying this aspect of who we are and how we can go about it? We certainly can spend a lot more time on solutions. I think basically we're laying a foundation for many other shows here.
Well, I don't think that there's anything wrong with your approach. There is a certain amount of frustration inherent in this message anyway, because expanding your own consciousness is a very, very difficult thing to convey. And if someone's higher faculties have atrophied, you know, which is very often the case, you can talk to your blue in the face and they won't get it anyway. But for those out there who still are functional and who want to see the truth, all they got to do is exert the effort. You know, that's the one thing we all have to remember. Nothing is going to be handed to you on a silver platter. You have to work for it. But the truth of everything we're talking about is all around you. You know, test the reality, figure out what it means, and then take the appropriate action. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Well, it's been an interesting show, Jim, and I want to thank you for your wisdom and your insight and your participation as well. And I look forward to your appearance again next week on Friday, as is the case. And I wish you a great weekend.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure I'll be available for whatever topic you want to explore.
Okay. All right, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And our special guest this evening, Jim Murray. He'll be back again next Friday. Be sure to tune in next week. We've got some great shows lined up for you. And I want to wish everyone a great weekend. Special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And to Seth Hendricks for the sound. Seth Hendrick, excuse me. Put an S on there. There's no S on the end of his name. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.